We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat this morning. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhofer. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Good. Glad to be here.
We are so glad you're here. We love you so much.
I love you guys, too.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. I think I covered it all, sister.
I think so.
Would you pray to start us out?
Absolutely. Precious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity, the freedom to come together and talk about you and to worship you and just to let your presence fill this place. And so we give you this time and ask you to just do what you do and anoint the words and anoint our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, Feeling Stuck.
Have you been there?
Oh, girl, I felt stuck in the muck for so long, I didn't even know what to do or how to do.
Yeah, I've kind of been going through that myself, you know, not moving forward, but not really feeling like I'm moving backward, just kind of stagnant, just kind of stuck in one spot and just feeling like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And it's real easy in those times to start with a lot of self-criticism, you know, okay, what's wrong with me? Why am I not feeling it? Why, you know, what am I doing wrong? You know, all of those things. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it's always good to start with a little bit of self-inventory, you know, because it could be something that we're doing, but it's also important before you even start with that self-inventory, I feel like, to remind yourself that Jesus loves me. God loves me no matter what. And even if I'm screwing up somewhere, he does not love me less. And so that you can eliminate the self-condemnation before you start with the self-inventory, because that condemnation will get you stuck. And so if you're really seeking freedom and wanting to move forward, it's just, it's always good to just remind yourself of the character of God. You know, he loves us so much. He's so faithful. He's so merciful. He's so gracious. And so it doesn't matter what my situation is or my circumstances are in the moment. It doesn't change how God feels about me.
Amen.
And it doesn't change his desire to grow me into whatever he has created me to be, whatever that looks like. So, you know, sometimes it is something that we're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really getting us sidetracked or distracted. Yeah. Sometimes it's an out and out direct attack from the enemy. And sometimes it's God trying to grow us to the next level. And so I feel like it's very important that we, you know, examine all of those things and acknowledge all of those things, because sometimes it's just so easy to go, oh, Satan's just attacking. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we all do that. We blame Satan with a lot of things that he's happy to take credit for, but yes, that's really not the case. And when we do that, that is another way that we get stuck, because we get stuck casting out demons and, you know, praying off oppression and depression and everything caused, yes, by the enemy, when that's really not the cause this time. It may be because, like I said, maybe we're doing something that we shouldn't do, or maybe God is trying to grow us. And if we're busy casting out demons, we can miss what God's trying to do.
Come on.
And so I think it's important that we keep that balance, and that we do a self-examination, that we examine, is this from the enemy? That we spend some time in prayer and in God's presence. What are you trying to do in this? Are you trying to work something in me? Is there something in me you're trying to work out of me to take me to the next level? Because it very well could be that. You know, John 16:33 in the Message says, in this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. And see, and I love that it doesn't just say, I've conquered Satan. I have conquered the world. Because sometimes we're going through difficult situations simply because we live in a fallen world. That is the nature of the world that we live in. But the good news is God has conquered the world. Jesus conquered the world. Every evil, godless, you know, influence that there is out there, every mistake, every sidetrack, everything that just takes us by surprise has been conquered. It's already been conquered. He has conquered the world. And so I love that, because, like I said, sometimes we can be doing everything right, so to speak, and still experience bad situations. We've all heard that. You know, why do good things happen to bad people? We live in a fallen world, and it's going to happen, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we don't have to get in a panic, because God has overcome the world. So sometimes we've allowed our minds to flow over into the negative, and we get off course, or we lose our vision. And that happens a lot of times too. And that can be a result of getting stuck and not, you know, not paying attention to that, not realizing, okay, I'm stuck. Because sometimes we'll ignore that too, and we think we can just work ourselves out of it. And we don't take it to God, and we don't do that self-inventory. And then it's very easy to turn that into a negative mindset. But God is so merciful, and he's so gracious, that he will not allow us to stay in that place very long. Even if it's of our own doing. You know, he's going to intervene and do everything he can to wake us up, get our attention, and get us back on that right path. But the vital thing, the lifeline that we always have to cling to, is no matter what you're going through, no matter how stuck you may feel, God will always, and I mean always, use the situation to grow us in some way. We might not even realize that we needed to grow in a certain area, but when it's all said and done, you can usually look back and say, wow, I can't believe what God did through that situation, even when we're in the middle of it. So we can, you know, you can take that to the bank, so to speak, mm-hmm, because God is always there. He's right in the middle of whatever's going on in your life. He sees you. He hears you, even if you're not feeling it at the moment. Amen. Even if you think it's distance. And sometimes we just need to get out of our own way and just let God do what he wants to do. Deuteronomy 1:6 says, you've stayed long enough at this mountain. On your way now, get moving. That's the Message version. You know, get over it, get going. Sometimes we feel like we're running in circles, like the children of Israel. They, you know, spent 40 years making an 11-day journey. And we talk about how the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. But that is not the truth. They were led by God every step. The Bible says they were led by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. God was leading them in that circle around that mountain for 40 years, trying to work some things out of them so they'd be ready for the next big thing God has. But I can guarantee you, they felt like they were stuck. They felt like they were going nowhere. What's going on here? I mean, we see it in all throughout the story in Scripture. You know, how they complained and they were like, you should have just left us in Egypt. Let us die in Egypt rather than dying out here in the wilderness. I mean, they had some really bad attitudes, but you can understand why, you know, they had these bad attitudes from where they came from. But it's easy for us in hindsight to go, you know, you idiots, look what all God did for you. But how many times do we do that? You know, God might do something really big for me today, and tomorrow I'm having a bad day and I've totally forgot about yesterday. You know, that's in the past. That's behind me. We're good at putting it behind us if it's something good. Now, if it's something bad, we'll hang on to it for centuries. But if it's something good, we are really talented at putting that in the past and being like, God, where are you? You know, why are you putting me through this? How could you let this happen to me? You know, we're good about that. And so I dare say a large majority of us, especially those of us who have lived in a comfortable Western world, might be griping and complaining like the Israelites. Like, you know, so what? You gave us water out of that rock yesterday. You know, where's our manna today? You know, or I'm sick of manna. Can we see a different menu? You know, yeah. It's like, I think we would all be there. But the fact remains that God led them through that 40 years on purpose, because he was trying to get the wilderness out of them.
Yes, come on.
And sometimes that's what he's doing with us. You know, some people live a wilderness type life because they are a wilderness themselves. You know, that's, they have just camped there in their mind and they're not going anywhere. But again, we see the character of God revealed in the journey of the Israelites, because he was patient, he was kind, he was gracious, he was merciful with his children, even as they journeyed and griped and complained and rebelled against him. He was still patient and kind and merciful. And so God continued to lead them and provide for their needs the whole time they were in the desert, regardless of their behavior. He had a plan for them, and he's like, you know, y'all just hold on, we're going to get there. This is what we're going to do. And a lot of time for us to grow is simply means that our minds need to be renewed. And that's a continual thing. It's not a one-time experience. So we may have mindsets or thoughts that we accept as fact in our mind, and those facts may be a lie that keep us in the wilderness. So that's another place that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do an inventory. Ask him, do an inventory of my thoughts. You know, show me what my wrong mindsets are, and then help me to change that based off the Word of God. And so I want to take just a minute this morning to highlight 10 wilderness mentalities that are identified in the book Battlefield of the Mind. We've been doing that in a small group at our church. I know, it is so good. And I've done this book several times, and every time I'm like, I need this. So, I mean, I would recommend you maybe get into it every other year or so. But
Yes,
for sure. So the first wilderness mentality is, my future is determined by my past and my present. So, in other words, I have been so bad in my past, or I have been so abused, or I have been rebellious or neglectful in my past, and that there's no way that I can have a good future. And where I'm at now, this is as far as I can go. You know, I might can be forgiven and get to heaven, but I'm not going to be any earthly good. You know, that's, we have that mentality. But God is not bound by your past or even your current circumstances. And I think that's always important to remember, that God is God. He's going to do what he wants to do. And he has conquered the world. That means he's already conquered your past. Whatever happened in your past, that was conquered on the cross. Because think about this. When Jesus died on the cross for everybody's sins, all of our sins were in the future. Mm-hmm. We weren't even born yet. We hadn't committed them yet. But they were all in the future, but yet they were all covered before we ever even committed those sins. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. Yes. I love that.
Whenever I started coming back to church and made the decision to turn back to God and turn back to my Jesus, I started going back to church. And one of the first things Pastor Dwight said, and it changed, it blew my mind. It changed so much for me. I heard him say, my future is not determined by my past, but by how I respond to God today.
Oh, that's good.
And I took that, and that's like the church motto there. And
I love that.
I took that. I've made t-shirts. I've put it on t-shirts. My future, your future, mm-hmm. our future.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, those are some of my favorite t-shirts. And it's a reminder to me, when I'm wearing that shirt and the enemy comes at me throwing all the, you remember when you did?
Yeah.
You remember when you said?
Yeah.
And I just pop my shirt at him.
Exactly.
You see this right here?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's under the blood.
Yeah. My future is not determined by my past, but by how I respond to God. I love you, Lord. I praise you, and I thank you for all that you're doing.
Amen. That's a good word. You know, let God speak about your future, not everybody else.
Amen.
The world's going to hold you back, tell you that it's not possible, but we know the word says all things are possible for those who love the Lord. So through Christ. So the world is your oyster, so to speak, because God can do whatever he wants to do in whoever he wants to do it. But back to your point, it's all about how we respond to what he's trying to do. So it's, you know, that's the key. I hate to say key, because serving God is not a formula, but being open and listening and responding and quick to obey what God is speaking in your heart through the Holy Spirit or through his word, those are the things that are going to affect your future.
Yes.
And God has a good future for you. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, 15, I'm in the message again. God said to Abram, open your eyes, look around, look north, south, east, and west. Everything you see, the whole land spread out before you, I will give to you and your children. what God wanted him to do was to keep his eyes on where he was going and off of where he had been or even where he was currently. He was like, look around. All that you see, as far as you can see, that's yours. That's for you and your descendants. Forget what you left, because this is what I have for you. And so that's what God is still saying to us today. Mm-hmm. You know, forget what you've left behind, those things that so easily weigh you down, Paul said. Lay those down. Forget that stuff. Forget where you're at today, because where you're at today may not be where you want to be. Don't get stuck there. Amen. Look forward to what God has for you in your future and respond to what he's telling you today. So the second wilderness mentality is, somebody do it for me. I don't want to take responsibility. You know, when God gives you a vision to do something, there are two really, really exciting times. When you start it,
come on,
and when you finish it.
Yes.
But all that in between can be a nightmare. A nightmare. You know, it's super easy to get excited when God first speaks to us and gives us an opportunity to maybe do something. But a lot of times we don't finish it or finish what we've started because we're just not willing to take the responsibility mm-hmm. to just push through. And excitement's only going to carry you so far. So if you want to get across the finish line, it's going to be perseverance mm-hmm. that does that for you. And you're going to really need God with you every step of the way. And there are going to, I can promise you, there are going to be times that you're going to feel stuck. And that's, you know, if you talk to any, like, I don't know, billionaire, whatever, they're going to tell you that there were times they were discouraged, that they failed. You know, I can't even remember right now, but a lot of them have even like filed multiple bankruptcies mm-hmm. in their past and had to reset and start over. But I'll tell you what, there's something glorious about that. And I'm not talking about in the world not being responsible for bills that and debts that you've incurred, but I'm talking about spiritually. You can file bankruptcy on that life you lived before Christ mm-hmm. and you can get a total reset in Christ and go forward, and you can be that spiritual billionaire because God's got all that set mm-hmm. ahead of you. Just keep your focus there and don't be afraid to take responsibility. Some days that responsibility will be good and some days it will be bad, but just persevere and don't throw in the towel, because if you do, you'll miss what God has for you. So the third wilderness mentality is, please make everything easy. I can't make it if things are too hard. And this is one of the most common, really, excuses for quitting. It's just too hard. I just can't handle it anymore. I just can't do it. But Exodus 13:17 in the Message version says, it so happened that after Pharaoh released the people, God didn't lead by the road through the land of the Philistines, which was the shortest route, for God thought, if the people encounter war, they'll change their minds and go back to Egypt. So sometimes the easy way is not the best way or even the safest way. Trust God and hang tough, because God knows the best way. Mm-hmm. And so if he had taken them from Egypt straight to the land of Canaan, where there were giants that had to be fought, they would have been fleeing in 3 million directions, different mm-hmm. directions. They were how many people there were all total. But they would not have stood to fight because they were not prepared. And God knew that. So in his mercy and in his faithfulness and his graciousness, He led them around the long way so they could build some spiritual muscle, so they could produce some children who would carry on the fight, who would get the vision, who would be strong and be bold because they had left the land that had them enslaved and now they were free. But it takes a while sometime for that freedom to sink in.
Yes.
You know, we wanna let Satan steal on Monday what God just gave us on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's easy to do. You gotta stop yourself and go, no, you are not gonna steal what God just gave me. Because that is what's going to get me to the next level. So we have to fight that battle, but God also knows what our endurance levels are. Mm-hmm. So he is not going to give us more than we can handle. So there will be days we'll be stretched. But once we're stretched and we get comfortable there, guess what? We're going to get stretched again.
Come on.
And that stretching is going to happen until Jesus comes and takes us home. Because there's always more. There's always, always more. So trust God and hang tough. And I'll give you one more before we take a break. I can't help it. I'm just addicted to grumbling, fault finding, and complaining, and I just can't help the way I think. That's just the way God made me. First of all, God did not make you to be gripey, grumbly, and complaining or negative or any of that. That is not how God made you. That's something that you and Satan created together on your own. He might have planted the seed, but I can promise you, you took it and ran with it. You watered it. You made it grow. And that is the fruit of your life now, is all negative. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15 says, do everything readily and cheerfully, no bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. And then continuing on in chapter 4, verse 6, it says, don't worry or fret. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. So take all of that negative stuff and allow it to shape your prayers. You don't like something? Take that to God. Mm-hmm. God, I don't like this. I don't understand this. It's uncomfortable. Why do I only see the negative? You know, I know a person who will remain nameless. Bless their hearts. But we can drive around town in the springtime and see all these beautiful lawns. And I'm thinking, oh, that's so pretty. That's so pretty. Their grass looks like carpet or whatever. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my mind. And this person will pick out the one yard full of weeds and say, they just don't ever take care of their yard. They have just let that yard go to pot. Can you believe how bad that looks? And I'm thinking, what's it to you? You know, it's not your yard. You don't live next to that person. And what about all these beautiful yards we passed to get here? You know, it's like, why is that what comes out of your mouth? Because I know you noticed that the other lawns look nice, or you wouldn't have noticed this one looks bad, because you have to see the contrast. You see what I'm saying? You have to see the positive in order to recognize the negative. So why is it the negative that we choose to let come out of our mouths? How about, oh my gosh, these yards are gorgeous. Look at that landscaping. This is beautiful. And keep your mouth closed when you pass that guy that didn't take care of it. You know, why? Why is that so easy? And so let those negative things turn into our prayers and petitions. And, you know, do that inventory. Is this going to radically alter the course of my life from this moment on? No. Whether or not this guy's yard is full of weeds is not going to alter the course of my life. So why does it matter? That's not something that should even be a problem for me. So just drop it, let it go. But those things that are real genuine concerns, take those to the Lord. Let him give you some revelation on that. And I promise you, he can turn it from a negative to a positive in a heartbeat. And then we can be that fresh air in a corrupted world. And that's what we're supposed to be, that breath of fresh air, that person that's on their last leg that only sees everything negative in their life. We're supposed to be that breath of fresh air that brings them hope. That's our role. That's our role. So the word doesn't say pray with complaining. It says pray with thanksgiving.
Yes.
And you can do it. Because God would not tell you to do something that he has not also enabled you to do.
Come on.
So if you feel like it's a struggle, say, God, I know I have the power because I have the mind of Christ. So help me get past this. If you have to put your hand over my mouth or send someone else to tell me to shut up, do that. Because I don't want to be this person. I want to be that breath of fresh air. You can do it. You have the mind of Christ. Mm. Make the most of it. Okay. This is probably a good time to stop for prayer.
Okay.